Salute to the flag. And Renell, at your last time.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we want to just do these quickly or we want to do them? We're going to take our program out of order so that we can honor our retirees this evening. This is a very wonderful evening for some of you, and for some of us, it's a very sad evening. So as we begin, Dr. Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. We have some sad goodbyes to say to some critical people who have really done a world of good in this district. And I think we'll begin with someone who's been here for a very long time and who's really taught me the world of PPS. So let's begin with Miss Ellie Becker. So Ellie gave a party, or we gave Ellie a party that I don't think there was any room at the party. We saw so many people come back, Ellie, to pay tribute to you because we look around this district. You've hired everybody. When we look around the district, we've set programs in place. You've been here since 1989. As a special education teacher, served as the assistant director from 2001 to 2007, as our director from 2007 to 2016, and then as the executive director from 2016 to 2019. And you've been always so committed to the students. There's never a question about your commitment. If it's good for kids, that's your decision-making, and that very child-centered, caring, compassionate, dedicated educator you are. And I present you this resolution, and as you know, this resolution only goes to folks who, of your caliber, really, who have etched in the hearts of all of us your passionate service, transforming our professional practices, putting in a myriad of programs in the district. When you think about our ABA program, she grew it from a fledgling to a premier program now in our district. The life skills, the TAG program, the best buddies, kids on the block, extended school year, the enrichment summer program. Even in her last year, she put in a program because she said, you know what, we need it. And the integrated co-teaching program, which is really throughout the entire district. Ellie, you leave us. We're in good shape because of what you have done, but your programs will continue forever because you've affected the lives of children. I want to thank you for your many years of service. It's been a personal privilege for me to know you. So.
And on behalf of the Board of Education, we want to present you with this beautiful glass figure, and it really just thanks you for your proven leadership and everything that you've done for this district, and your high ideals and dreams that you made come true. And we'll miss you, but all those kids, I must tell you, walking through the summer ed program
with Ellie
and seeing the kids running up, and it doesn't matter what age, Ellie, but she knows everyone by name and exactly where they are. And that's a gift, and we thank you.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you. It's truly been my honor to be part of this family for so long. It will ever stay in my heart. Thank you.
I just have an announcement. At the end of the retirement celebration for some, Nina would like the staff to go out so she could take some pictures or whatever, say her private whatever. But she just like about 3 minutes of everybody's time.
And
thank
we'll
you. And there's going to be cake also.
Most important.
Oh, yeah, we should have coffee.
We should have coffee.
Yeah, you should. By the way.
Okay. Next year.
Thank you, Ms. Lieberman. Let's continue our festivities tonight by having Ms. Alice Bowman come to the mic to honor another one of our retirees.
Vicki? I asked Vicki on the way in. It's a roast tonight, right, Vic? She said Thursday. Mrs. Olson began her career at POB Middle School in 1985 and earned tenure in 1988. Throughout her 34 years of service to the POB School District, Mrs. Olson has dedicated herself to the school community, both as a committed science educator and as an advocate for the teaching profession. Vicki has played an important role at POB Middle School, serving as a supervisor to countless athletic events, our Friday Night Rec program, and of course, as a leader in the PCT. Being a middle school teacher takes a very special person. Our students are going through great change, and on any given day, you really can't predict what's going to happen. To survive, you need to be able to go with the flow and embrace some of the chaos. Often, kids need an adult who will lend an ear without judging, and for many, many students, Vicki Olson has provided that ear. She gave her kids a safe, non-judgmental place, and it has made all the difference. Throughout the time that I've worked directly with Mrs. Olson, I've gotten to know her pretty well. A staunch advocate for her unit, Vicki never backs down from what she believes, and I mean never. However, no matter what the issue, she always comes with a series of potential solutions, and oftentimes has solved a problem before I even knew it existed, like this week. Straightforward and direct, you always know where you stand with Mrs. Olson. Always. As a result of her candor and direct nature, we've shared some tense moments, some very tender moments, and my personal favorite, some very funny moments. Well, this school year in particular has been one for the books for Mrs. Olson, and I say this because we've had moments on multiple occasions when she said to me, Alice, you're not going to believe this, but... and then filled in with some interesting things. She has remained a dedicated teacher and worked to put on a smile every single day. I suspect, though, that some of her smiles, in fact, most of her smiles, have come about because she enjoys what she does and truly loves her students. Vicki, as you begin the next chapter in your life, know that you have touched the lives of many, many students and colleagues, and you will be tremendously missed at POB Middle School. We wish you all the best.
Again, on behalf of the board, we'd like to just give you this. Yeah, isn't that pretty?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It really is.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
And how we've appreciated everything we've served on the welfare fund together, children and everything else. And
mission statement.
Mission statement. Job well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you all. It's just, I'm losing part of my family. Because I swear, I think I log more hours here than in my own home sometimes.
Thank you, thank you.
Congratulations, Vicki. If I can ask Ms. Suzanne Gray to please come to the mic to honor some retirees.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Good evening. Congratulations to all of the retirees tonight, especially Mrs. Kandel, Mrs. Klein, and Mr. Ripley. Through all the years here, all three of you have changed the lives of thousands of children. Everyone in this room knows that you don't go into teaching to make a lot of money. People become teachers to make a difference in the lives of the students sitting in front of them, to teach them that they can accomplish their goals, persevere, dream big, and become whoever and whatever they want in this world. And each of you have done just that. Tonight, I'm speaking on behalf of myself, Dr. Clark, and Mr. Rogers about Mr. Ripley and Mrs. Kandel. Can you come join me, please?
Mm.
Mr. Ripley started his career in Plainview Old Bethpage in 1999. During his two decades, Mr. Ripley has been a constant in our children's lives, not only introducing fourth grade students to a new world of sound and passion for music, but to all of our children as he started every day at the front doors of Old Bethpage greeting our students with smiles and laughter, a job responsibility that was not his. But he did it every day, graciously and with a smile. He approaches each day with passion, laughter, and high spirits, and he brought energy to all of us at Old Bethpage and Stratford Road. He designed lessons that taught more than notes and rhythms. His interactions helped to develop the whole child and offered them a space to fill with not just their voices, but with their true selves. Whenever you walk by Mr. Ripley's room, you can hear the beautiful music, or sometimes beautiful music. Sometimes it sounded like seals. But you also heard the laughter, the smile, and the genuine love that Mr. Ripley had for those students and that those students had for you, Mr. Ripley. Mr. Ripley's lasting legacy will be the hundreds and hundreds of students that you've been inspiring from the moment you walked in those doors at Stratford Road and Old Bethpage. Mrs. Kandel started her career in Plainview in 1985. In her time, she has exuded grace and class in all that she has done. She consistently set the bar at the highest level and surpassed expectations we have for our district's music and choral programs. Not only was the bar set high for her students, but she continued to set that bar so high for herself as well. During her lunch or prep periods, you can often find Mrs. Kandel learning new music pieces to teach the children and keep her lessons engaging and fresh. She learned the smart board, she used smart music, all things that you wouldn't typically think a teacher teaching for as long as you have would be interested in. But nothing was too interesting for you as long as it met the needs of your students. All of us at Old Bethpage and Stratford, I'm sorry, well, Old Bethpage, Matlin, and POB Middle School, am I leaving anybody else? No? Okay. We'll absolutely miss hearing the magical voices of our students right across the hall. This year, she took the entire fourth grade chorus to NISMA and received the highest rating one could get. It is so appropriate that our children learn to create such beautiful music together under their guidance. From them, they learned collaboration, cooperation, empathy, and expression. Your passion for teaching and for music is infectious, and you will be so, so missed by the administrators, by the staff, and by the students of both our schools. We love you. Congratulations.
And to Jean, we have the same sculpture. I wish we could have been a little bit more original, but to someone who taught my children and to someone that we go back a very long time, we want to wish you all the best. And with Mr. Rubin, I'm sure the two of you will find an endeavor together.
We always do.
You always do. Thank you for everything you've done. Oh, my goodness, look at this. To Chris Ripley, and again, it's for your dedicated service and everything else, and you make beautiful, beautiful music, and I hope you, and your wife just celebrate your retirement and enjoy it, and thank you for everything.
Thank you.
We have two more.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for
everything.
I know.
Love you. Jane, do you want to say anything?
Right, you go ahead.
I'm not done. Okay, not I still have more. Oh, you want to speak?
Just thank you so much. It's been an honor. It's I'm full. I'm just filled up.
Oh.
I'm filled up with love.
Thank you.
I didn't know if it was appropriate or not. Everybody, it's been a wonderful ride. It really has. And as far as being at the front door, the doctor said I had to lay off the caffeine. And watching those kids come in the door, if you need coffee after that, there's really something wrong with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have two more retirees from Old Bethpage. Ms. Janine Nee, Dr. Clark will be speaking on behalf of us tonight, but I would like to introduce and welcome up Mrs. Nancy Klein. so happy, Nancy. Mrs. Klein started her career in Plainview in 1996. She's always had an unwavering focus on what's good and fair. She taught our children how to read, write, solve problems, and how to persevere. She taught them to feel strongly about a cause and to work towards a change. She's been patient, nurturing, and encouraging. She's introduced our youngest children to environmental, human rights, and global issues and empowered them. They leave your classes believing that their decisions and their choices are important and count, and that they even make a real difference in the world, even at the tender ages of 6 and 7. She's been one of the biggest supporters of children, teachers, and parents, and continuously encouraged them to dream big. She is truly committed to the educational success and the emotional well-being and the safety of all of our children. She has proved to be loyal, a leader, and a team player. Nancy, since the day I met you, I knew you were a special kind of teacher. You remain true to your beliefs about raising the whole child, one that is curious and eager about learning, but also emotionally and socially prepared for the journey that lies ahead of them. We want to wish you the best and congratulate you on your retirement. As you begin the next phase and move to Florida, we hope you send pictures and come back to visit, use Facebook, and let us know that you're doing well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's very humid in Florida, so you can have time to rethink, but we're going to miss you tremendously.
Thank you so much, Ginger.
Bye.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's truly been an honor and my privilege to work with the amazing families of Plainview Old Bethpage and with my amazing colleagues and administration. Thank you.
I'd like to ask Dr. Allison Clark to please come up.
Good evening, everybody. So how do you sum up a person's career in a few succinct sentences? In Mosaic of Thought, Ellen Oliver Keane and Susan Zimmerman wrote about the mosaic each of us creates as we read, a mosaic constructed of diverse pieces, each integral to the whole, each essential to the texture of learning. This is what I thought about as I reflected on the retirements of three special people. So I'm first going to ask James Blank to join me. Jim, your service to the Plainview Old Bethpage School District. Your service to the Plainview Old Bethpage School District since 2005 has been as a member of the Stratford Road and Kindergarten Center communities. Your dedication was evident. Your contribution to the mosaic was about fitting the smaller parts together to shape the whole. As night custodian in charge, you had a critical role of making sure that the building and people were ready for all after-school and evening events. While you've always been extremely reliable and took your job very seriously, what stands out the most was your caring nature and interactions with everyone at Stratford Road and the greater community. Tonight we celebrate the time you have given to support the educational programs in this district. Thank you.
Really, the board wants to thank you, and I know your pride and joy was when we walked through the buildings that the building sparkled. And you should be proud of every single thing you did, and we want to thank you for your years of service.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. For all that you've done for us, we really do appreciate it.
Okay, next, Elaine Stelzer. Come on up. Elaine, your decision to retire was quite a surprise. I did not expect that when you came in my office and closed the door. When they do, we know something's going on. Okay, what does that mean? As an AIS teacher, you have played a very special role at Stratford Road, making sure that very specific needs of children were met. During the 2007-2008 school year, you transferred back to Stratford Road as we became the Reed 180 Pilot School. This is part of the mosaic you have helped to create here. You were on the forefront, along with your teaching partner, all those years ago. Besides your direct work with children, you have been part of our response to intervention team, ready and willing to provide information to help further the needs of children. A clear goal that you've always had in your classroom was to create a safe environment where children felt comfortable and willing to take risks so that they could develop independence and enjoyment when reading and writing. Elaine, so many children have strengthened their literacy muscles through your 19 years in education. So thank you.
Thank you so much, and for all the intervention services you did, and you got our kids through, the ones who really needed it. We want to thank you.
Thank you so much.
You can or you don't have
to. I truly enjoyed my 19 years in the district. The many programs I've done and working with all the different grades, middle school, elementary, and I never had time to be bored. I was always challenged, and that's what made it great. Thank you so much.
Wait, Elaine. I'm going to now ask Suzanne Gray to join me, and Janine Nee. We're tag-teaming this. We said, okay, who will speak on behalf of whom tonight? I can talk about... Ready, Janine? You are ready. No, I know, because deep breath. I can talk about your incredible teaching, continuous professional growth, and connections with children, colleagues, and parents. But there is more to this. What stands out for me, and I also know what stands out for Suzanne Gray and the staff at Old Bethpage School, has always been your passionate advocacy and perseverance for the children within your classroom. The mosaic you've crafted is made up of hundreds of tiles, all very unique. Each of these tiles, laid out with great care, needed your special touch as you helped your learners shine. And what most people don't know is that you volunteered to transfer to Old Bethpage School, knowing that it was your last year, just so a new teacher here wouldn't have to be transferred out of Stratford. Yeah. So I had to share that with everybody. That selfless attribute about you is the cement to your mosaic. Janine, you have affected the lives of hundreds of children through your 34 years in education. We celebrate the time you've given to our youth and wish you the very best in this exciting new venture.
Congratulations. We're going to miss your smiley face and all that you do for everything.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so overwhelmed. I've been here a really long time, and I look out at many faces, and I see so many. You all represent somebody or a facet of the wonderful Plainview Old Bethpage experience I've had, and it's just such a joy to see you here. You and I are laughing because we know what it was. Anyway, I have always been so proud to say I've worked at Plainview Old Bethpage, and I will continue to say I'm proud to have worked here, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Can I have Mr. Michael Rogers come to the mic, please?
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we would like to honor the career of Ms. Heidi Grabowski. Ms. Grabowski has faithfully served the Plainview Old Bethpage community for 34 years. She has made a home at Pasadena where each day she greets her students with a welcome song. Throughout these many years, she has taught the students countless songs, rhymes, dances, and stories. She has accompanied her students during concerts, NISMA, and different events. With a classroom full of instruments and decorations, Ms. Grabowski has spent time cultivating a culture of a positive musical experience where students can be creative and expressive. She has been an integral part of the music staff for over 3 decades, also teaching classes in the middle schools on occasion. She has continuously found opportunities for her students to succeed outside of the classroom, often preparing students for auditions with the Metropolitan Youth Orchestra Chorus or the Long Island Children's Chorus, and having had them succeed. She has led students in successful student recorder performances and during different holiday and school celebrations throughout the years. She will be greatly missed upon her retirement while she spends time with her husband, Bill, and her two daughters, Alexandra and Holly. Ms. Grabowski, you have inspired students for so many years, many of whom have gone on to become music educators themselves. And we wish you all the best in your retirement. Congratulations on a wonderful career. Please come on up.
It's been an honor and a pleasure to serve the Plainview Old Bethpage School community. Thank you for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Can I ask Mr. Jim Murray to please come to the mic?
Switch glasses. Yep, it happens. Good evening, everybody. Shame on you for making me go at the very end. This is
you're
really
not last.
50. Oh, okay, all right. This is really very difficult hearing about such wonderful educators that we've had in our district and as well as other support staff members as well. I'm very honored to speak tonight about 152 years of service given to the POB JFK High School with the five members of our faculty that are retiring this year. When I think of how they've affected children in each of the different disciplines, it really doesn't do justice, the few words that we could share with them tonight. And the teardrop, that trophy that the Board of Education provides for each one of them, it really does have that different kind of a meaning now that I look at it from that perspective. I'd like to get started with Debbie Hershkowitz, if she could please join me. Debbie is joined this evening by her husband. I'm so glad he's here for her, as always. After 31 years of teaching at POB JFK High School, as a Spanish teacher, Debbie is entering into retirement. I have to tell you, Debbie and I, we go way back. I've gotten to know her really very well over the 16 years that I've been in the building. And we've worked closely on many different types of projects and ventures that she was interested in. Dating way back to when she was an AP teacher and was doing the reading for all of those exams and College Board, that kind of service, to what going back about 5 years ago when she was thinking about retiring and coming close to it. But she's always been a very hard worker right till the very end, and I was explaining this to her husband tonight. Debbie still is one of the first teachers there in the building in the morning, definitely the first language teacher, I could say that much, and running from main office to the world language office, and then she'll come back again, and just, always working really very hard to prepare for her lessons. She's one of those type of teachers that never has a discipline problem. Kids respect her. She respects them. It's business when they get into class. They know they're going to learn when they're in with Ms. Hershkowitz, but they're going to learn from somebody that cares about them. And she's always demonstrated that through her teaching and instruction. She's been an active member of the faculty, coming to sporting events and different club activities that the students participate in. So we are going to definitely miss her in many different aspects. We wish her the best of luck in the future. Congratulations, Debbie.
Thank you. You've always been a cheerleader.
You have. And you've always been there for the kids, and we're going to miss you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's from the PTA.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
It's been a pleasure working with all of my students throughout my 31 years here, but now my grandchildren take precedence, so that's one of the reasons I'm retiring. Thank you for the wonderful students I've had.
Enjoy them, Debbie, and I want to see that they're bilingual. She's working on it. Okay, next, Donna John is a family and consumer science teacher. She can't be here this evening, but I did want to acknowledge her 28 years of service that she's dedicated to the high school as a family and consumer science teacher. She will be greatly missed. And next, if I can invite Neil Lasher to join me up at the lectern. That's appropriate for Neil. Neil is joined this evening by his lovely wife, Sandy, and beautiful daughter, Renee. Thank them for coming this evening.
And my son, Rick.
Oh, I didn't see your son's back there. I'm sorry, Rick. Oh, he did. I'm glad he made it. Yes, yes. If, in case you need a lawyer, I'm glad. That's good.
Everybody needs a lawyer.
Yeah, me too. Neil is retiring from our district after 34 years of service. He started in September of 1985, and from the get-go, he's enjoyed a good working relationship, good rapport with his students and staff, and that just got better and better with the years. He was granted tenure in September of 1988, and he was assigned to the high school in the 1991-1992 school year, of course, as a guidance counselor, if I didn't mention that before. One of the things about Neil that we're truly going to miss, of course, is his sense of humor. He has this gift of making students and staff, when they're having difficult times, feeling down, troubled, to turn that smile, that frown upside down and create a smile and laughter out of the experience, and really is lighthearted and makes people think, and it puts things in different perspective. I'm getting myself a little bit choked up over it. He's always been there for his students, an advocate for all of them, whether they're interested in BOCES programs or the cultural arts programs, and of course the college application process. He's been very active in doing college visits and being a part of different counseling organizations. And of course I have to mention his coaching, three sports I believe it is. Yep, three sports coaches over the years. And he's just, you know, I don't know what Sandy's going to do with you with all this extra time.
Send me out.
She's going to send you out. Somewhere. Yes, yes. Anywhere. And I also had the pleasure of working with Neil, too, on a different perspective when he was the assistant head rep for the SRC for the building. So working with the main office, the guidance department right down the hall from us, we've really gotten to know each other very well. And I'm truly going to miss working with you in the future, Neil. Wish you the best of luck always.
Neil is a person that can make anybody laugh or anybody smile, and it doesn't matter what the situation is. During the summer, walking through the summer special ed, and it's 100 degrees, and he's got the smile on his face, and he's just walking, and we're going like this, and we're drowning, and he's showing us more and more and more and more, and then we say, it's okay. But it's going to be your sense of humor and your wonderful persona that's bigger than life that we're going to miss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've worked here for 34 fun-filled years. I've worked with many of you on the board. I've worked with many administrators in the schools. I've worked with our president, Nina, Jim, certainly Lori. Everybody that I know and have met along the way has been very supportive of all the things I do, and I have done lots of different things and wore many different hats along the way. I always felt supported. Even when I was new here 34 years ago, and I was in C House upstairs in Matlin. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow 34 years went by, and I'm standing here in still in Matlin. So I didn't get very far, but that's okay. I appreciate everything you've done for the community, for the kids, and for me. So thank you very much.
And next, if I may ask Glenn Rubin to join us. Glenn is retiring after 33 years of service to our district. I would be totally fine, by the way, if you didn't approve this tonight. because, you know, Glenn has truly been dedicated to his students, to the school community, to all of us, in helping our students learn and grow, and not just learning the instruments, but learning about life and learning how to become better people and helping them to grow up. He started in September of 1986 when he was filling in, if I remember correctly, for Jean, when she was out on maternity leave. That's correct, right? And then fortune had it that you ended up sticking around.
Yes.
And the district hired you, and you came, you know, and we ended up getting you back at the high school, at the high school level. Glenn has always conducted himself in a very professional manner. very professional manner, always caring about his students and staff, and of course teaching them to the highest caliber. Under his direction, that orchestra program has grown and grown exponentially. When we talk about Jean, her award this year with the Gold with Distinction, congratulations for that. Same thing with Glenn Rubin, and that's been, I can't tell you how many times that we become spoiled, because I know it doesn't come easy. It's a lot of work and dedication. We're very honored that this year at our commencement ceremony on Sunday, Glenn will be performing with a bunch of students actually, in our graduation ceremony. So it's wonderful that we'll have one more taste of him and his students before he leaves. But I would like to just add one extra piece that Glenn has shared with us at the high school. It's made him very special. He introduced the Friday morning music, a special program that we have that takes place on Friday mornings. Not every Friday, I wish it were, but enough. And sometimes he'll throw in a different day of the week just to surprise us. And he gets to feature the different students, and it is just the best way to start your day, especially so early in the morning at the high school level. And, you know, that's all under his direction, our Tri-M students. I'm hoping it's going to be a tradition that we're going to continue with going forward in the future. So you've had your fingers in a lot of different things. I know this past year you performed at the Superintendent's Convention for Dr. Lewis when she received her position, and that what a wonderful experience that must have been. I'm sorry that I missed it, but I did get to see it anyway on tape. So I wish you the very best of luck, health, and happiness in the future, and please don't be a stranger.
Thank you.
Sometimes there just are no words to say. I have had the privilege and pleasure of attending almost every one of your concerts. And I know when you came, you wanted, after you took over for Jean, you had a dream of an orchestra program, something very big. And all of a sudden, you made it happen. And you have given our students and the parents of this community something that very few have, not only the gift of music, the love of music, and when they come back and they see you and they want to play, and it was like Mr. Holland's opus at your last concert, and the graduates all came up rushing up and everything else, there are no words. There are absolutely no words, except you will be terribly, terribly missed.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to my fellow teachers. Thank you to the students. Thank you to the administrators. Thank you to all the board members I've known over the last third of a century. And I'm not going to get too wordy. There are others that are sharing tonight also. But what I will say is a motto of the music department is that when words fail, music speaks. And the reason is because music is life. Thank you, everybody.
Just like a concert, I always feel like I learn something when I hear Glenn speak. Last but not least, from the high school, we have Dina Stevens. Dina is joined by her husband, Doug, tonight. I'm glad he's here for her as well. Dina is a special education teacher at POB JFK High School. Started in the district in 1993 on a part-time basis and ended up getting tenured after a full-time position that emerged in September of 1998. Dina didn't come to the high school, POB JFK, until September of 2007. And when I remember when Ellie told me that she was coming over to the high school, I was concerned that, you know, did she want to come to the high school? Is it something that she was looking forward to or not? And as soon as I met her, you know, Ellie said, I want you to meet her. You're going to be very happy with her, Jim. And I, of course, right from the get-go, I was. She loved where she was, her prior life, being in the middle school. But she was ready for a new challenge and accepted the position with open arms and was really very happy to be coming and starting new. And that never changed. That never changed. She's great with her kids. She, you know, always works to meet the IEP goals for each one of her students, keeping that at the forefront. A phenomenal resource room teacher, up abreast with assistive technology and uses that with her students. Always has a very positive and pleasant approach to her and truly cares about her kids. I can tell you numerous times throughout this year she's come to me with concerns that she's had with students and ideas on how to address them and to help and support them. So always, that is Dina, and I know that she will never change. I'm really very disappointed to hear that she's retiring this year, as well as I am with the others four that are going with her. But I'm happy for them that each of them, that they're going on to the next phase of their lives and they're having wonderful plans ahead. Dina, we will truly miss you, and I wish you the best of health and happiness always.
Thank you. The board wants to thank you for everything you've done, especially working with students who need that little bit of extra help to helping kids go on to college, to helping kids see themselves differently than maybe others have. You've been so instrumental in changing the course of their lives forever. Thank you.
Thank you.
I did ask to go to the high school. I love the middle school, and it was time to move on. I started in Plainview. I grew up in Plainview. I'm retiring from Plainview, and I just want to thank you for giving me a job that put a smile on my face every day.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. If I could ask Dr. Ladico to please come up to the microphone.
To paraphrase a quote from historian Daniel Boorstin, in this life of illusion, the person with solid virtues who can be admired for something more substantial than his or her well-knownness often proves to be the unsung hero. They alone have the mysterious power to deny our mania for greatness than there is in this world. Here in our district, the unassuming vital pulse and enduring spirit of our Central Office of Technology are Mrs. Michelle Zeppelin and Ms. Marie Nigro. Also known as the heart and soul of our Central Office of Technology. Michelle Zeppelin, the heart. Following over a decade of employment in the private sector, Michelle made the decision to take pause from her successful career as a payroll manager and dedicate herself to a new calling in her life, motherhood. Residing in Plainview, Michelle and her husband, Michael, raised two beautiful children, Jennifer and Eric, former graduates of our school district. She has a granddaughter, Callie, too. She's crazy about. In 1996, Michelle was hired as one of our first computer technology teacher aides for POB Middle School. In 2003, she joined our Central Office of Technology team as a senior account clerk. The confluence of Michelle's fiscal prowess, dedication, tenacity, and impeccable human relations skills provides the vital pulse of the administrative support required to implement and sustain the fruits of our instructional technology plans, our budgets, E-rate, smart schools bond funding that our entire educational community enjoys today. I am grateful to have had the opportunity and pleasure to learn much from Michelle over our two decades working together. In every way imaginable, Michelle's work unequivocally remains at the heart of POBCSD's successful technological transformation. Marie Nigro, the soul of our office, its heart and soul. Prior to coming to POBCSD, Marie ran a successful domestic and international private business she built from the ground up on a minority grant awarded to support pioneering women in business, in addition to working part-time at the Farmingdale College Library. In 2004, she was hired as a senior library clerk for our district. In response to the ongoing exponential growth of our district-wide technology needs, in 2013, she joined our Central Office of Technology team. It is Marie's exceptional business savvy, meticulous honed organization skills, and steadfast work ethic that provides the key administrative support required to implement and sustain the literally thousands of 21st century instructional tools and administrative office resources for our students that we utilize every day in the district. I am grateful for everything Marie has done for us. She's genuinely kind-spirited, and her work is unequivocally remains at the soul of our successful technology transformation. I'm going to sum it up with a quote that a PTA member gave me on a mug once. And Glenn Rubin will relate to this one, because we shared this one actually when we met each other the first time. After silence, that which comes nearest to expressing the inexpressible is music. And on that note, let me take 10 seconds to express and sing your praises. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while Michelle and Marie are at POB.
I want to thank you for all the work you have done working with Guy and helping when our really technology program just began. Thank you very much. We
thank
appreciate
you.
Everything.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ladico, and congratulations to all the retirees for happy and healthy life ahead. Enjoy every moment of it.
We have one retiree that we left off, and we want to apologize to that person. Tonight, we recognize the retirement of Ronell Hershkowitz from the Board of Education. Ronell started in the district 1979 as a lab assistant, became a teacher, an assistant principal, a principal, and a Board of Education member. Ronell, your years of service, I don't think we can enumerate all the accomplishments that you have made. It's amazing wherever you are, somebody comes up to you that either had you as a teacher, as a principal, as Camp Apollo. It's like a Pied Piper. You could go when you go into the buildings and the kids come flocking over to her. And I guess that there are just things that we'll always remember. I can remember how many times during the winter season, Ronell was being pushed in a cart as Santa Claus. Had a skateboard. She dressed for Halloween. She found happiness in every nook and cranny, and she found compassion for every single student. The only thing different between you and everybody else tonight is I didn't hire you, but I hired everybody here. And that's the only thing that separates you out. And on behalf of the board, it. Oh, you just can show
thank
it.
Thank you so much. That's unbelievable for me. To honor your service to the children of our school. It's just, it's unbelievable. Magnificent. Wonderful, and very, very, just wonderful. Every day was another phenomenal day. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Do you want to go to Nina? Nina, I just want to close it. Okay. Nina, I know you have some words you want to say.
Thank you. We also would like to congratulate Ronell and say that we will miss you, but we know that you'll be back, especially at JJP. For some reason. I just wanted to take a few minutes on behalf of the PCT to congratulate and thank all of the retirees that we have here tonight. Not only the teachers, but the administrators, our support staff, the custodians. I've had the pleasure of working with many of you either during the day, and I've had the pleasure of working with many of you outside of the school day. What gets expressed here tonight is all of the things that you have done for your children and all of the work that you have put in. But in addition to that, what some might not know is all of the things you have done for your profession, to elevate your profession. You have worked so hard throughout all of your years to earn the respect of your administrators, the parents, and the children, and your colleagues. You have mentored your colleagues in your spare time, if there is such a thing. You have given time outside of your day to make phone calls in support of the school budget. You've sat on committees, some of them with me, to redo report cards, to talk about a new program. All of these things are in addition to the hours that you spend planning to make each lesson successful and to bring your children into your lives and your life into your children's. So I did just want to take that a few minutes to thank you for all of your years. I know that above and beyond, I've worked with many of you, and I seem tonight to have a particular, Vicki, I know Michelle, we've had Nancy, Reps, Neil, that have gone above and beyond as well in terms of working with the PCT and the administrators and parents and teachers to try to solve the problems, to try to express the needs of the students, the teachers, so that we can all create this wonderful place that we have here. It takes a lot of different people. I want to wish you lots of happiness in your retirement. I know it will be a wonderful time. My husband reminds me that it's wonderful every day.
Jim, thank you. I'm going to. Jim, do you want to say something? Jim, would you like to say something on behalf of ASDA on the retirees?
On behalf of ASDA, the administrators and supervisors and directors union, of course, we would like to just congratulate all of the retirees tonight and thank you very much for your commitment to the district over the years. You will be missed, and you've left footprints of excellence for certain.
Thank you.
Tonight, we celebrated over 780 years of dedicated service to this district. We are losing some giants among you. And I want to thank you personally for knowing you, coming into your classrooms. I would always go into the music rooms to hear the music. So when we lose four music teachers, four in 1 year, we know that it's a deep loss. But we, you know, Mr. Rogers and his committee, they have done a great job. And we promise that we'll continue your traditions that you have left us. But I just want to say thank you for all the work that you have done and for making Plainview Old Bethpage the wonderful district that it is. Thank you.
A night like tonight brings a certain sense to the room, whether it's happiness or sadness, but what do we say about each and every one of you
many years ago, I addressed the staff at a superintendent's conference day, and I talked about how the elementary teachers were our foundation of a house, and our middle school teachers are really the structure that surrounded it, and our high school teachers were the roof of the house, and everybody who worked in all the different disciplines were the interior designs and the decorating. So who are you when you leave here today? You become our landscape. You are what will be presented to every future generation as they walk through the doors. What you leave is not a thumbprint, it's a body print. Each and every one of you has given to this district something so very, very special. And years from now, we'll still be talking about that person. And we know that there are people who will fill some very big shoes to fill. But for you, we want to just say there are not enough words to thank you for all the years that you have given us. And more than that, we want to wish you not just a great retirement, but the healthiest of healthy retirements. And thank you again for all you have done. And please come back and visit. You'll be missed. Thank you. After you leave here to take pictures or whatever, we have a special cake for all of you. Everybody, we're going to take a 10-minute break. Everybody go out and enjoy yourself.
Yes,
Adam. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I got a cut. Thanks for noticing. Hi, everyone. How are you?
We're fine. Go ahead, honey.
First off, I just wanted to say best of luck to everyone who, all the retirees. The impact that they've had on the students in this school district is immeasurable, and I thank them all for everything they've done. So normally I'll bring up a note and I'll read off what's been going on in the calendar, but this time, since it's my last time as a student here, and it's really, really upsetting, but I figured it would be more heartfelt. So first, as the regular school report goes, for the month of June, I wanted to talk about the senior walk that we had. I believe it was the first year we ever did something like that, and it was amazing. I was able to go to Stratford, which was my old elementary school, and we sang the Stratford Road song with all the little students there, and it was amazing. The best, on the bus too. All the students were so excited, and we got to see everyone, and that was truly an amazing experience. As for elections, we did stick with the normal process for elections. Unfortunately, the senior board did not get filled, and we only have president and vice president, but of course the students were able to put in their vote just like it was normally, so we do have that in place. And as for the rest, we had our graduation rehearsal today, which was really scary for me, because now it's real. But that went well, and it went quickly and smoothly. And then we have our senior prom on Thursday. We had sports awards tomorrow, and then we also had our senior awards ceremony, so congratulations to everyone who got something. And I just wanted to say that my time here from the beginning to the end has been truly amazing. First off, I want to thank all of you for all the work that you do, because the amount of opportunities that I've had at this school are truly immeasurable. It is amazing. I've had certain classes that I've taken that really have shaped the foundation and the basis for the major that I'm choosing in college. In fall, I'll be heading off to Binghamton, and I'm doing political science. I've taken courses like Power in Politics, Terrorism Today. I've taken public speaking, and these classes, they're the basis for what I'm doing now in college, so it's really amazing that we have these offered that students can take. And everything about my experience here has been amazing. I actually wanted to talk about, I've been reminiscing about my past 4 years at the high school and everything in between. And one of the things that I remember was Profile of a Graduate, and I actually went with National Honor Society, and you just see the passion that everyone in the community has for the school, for the students, parents, teachers, principals. Everyone came out. I saw members of the Board of Education were there, and students were there, and we all came together and we said, how can we make this school community better? And you see the passion that everyone has for this community. So it's truly amazing to live here and to just go to this school, and I thank everyone for everything that they've done. And I wanted to give a shout out to Miss Melzer, because she was actually my kindergarten teacher.
Oh, wow.
Lila.
So every time I come here on Mondays, I see her, and you kind of just see the path that... Yeah, forever.
Always a lot of fun.
But it's true. I mean, you come from kindergarten all the way to now, and the amount of experiences and opportunities that I've had in this district, they started there and they end here, so it's amazing. So thank you so much for everything.
You have become, as we spoke tonight about our retirees, you are our youngest retiree and one that we are so proud of. She's a seedling. She hasn't grown into a bush of shrub or anything yet.
We're looking at our next president, probably. Probably the best representation for the board. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
For once, somebody stole my thunder, because I have known her since knee-high, and one of the things that is a privilege and a pleasure in this district is getting to know your students, your children, and the wonderful families. And some of you love them all, but some of them watching it in this week, this year, come up here every other week. The poise that she has shown, how she has grown, how she has presented herself under some of the good times and some of the difficult times, truly, truly, I am so proud. And I know, yes, we'd love to say it was all the teachers, but it was you, it was your family, it was your personality. I will miss it. Miss seeing you every other week, so you better write.
Aww. Are the
I've never seen her then.
What's gonna happen at graduation? Oh my God. We better buy stock in Kleenex. Any board announcements? Jody?
Anybody else want to go first or
no?
We do have one more person to recognize tonight. I would like to give a special thank you to our president this year, Ms. Ginger Lieberman.
Thank you.
Being a board member is a lot of work. Being the president of the board is a ridiculous amount of work. There are extra meetings. There are all those contracts to sign. There's, you know, maintaining order during very long and sometimes heated meetings. Sometimes there's keeping your unruly vice president in line. But it's a tremendous amount of work. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of commitment. And I want to thank Ginger very much for her leadership and her commitment this year to the Plainview Old Bethpage community.
And to Jody for being a wonderful, wonderful vice president.
Oh, thank you.
No name on it, so I have to wonder.
Maybe don't shake it.
Oh, is that beautiful? It's one thing I don't have. No. A key to the school.
Okay.
Key to success.
Okay, but I still have to go to school first to be successful. I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you to everyone. It's been my pleasure. And that over the next year or so, we have a lot to accomplish, a lot of different things going on, a lot of major decisions to make, but you couldn't ask for a better Board of Education to work with. That we as partners, there is no real president or vice president. I believe each person is the seventh piece of a pie. One may just call a meeting to order, but it takes seven people to get to where we have to get. And so I just want to thank the community and everybody else for your support. And going on now, thank you very much. I don't want to talk anymore. It's just unusual. Board announcements. Debbie?
I just wanted to mention a few things that we've been doing in the past couple of weeks since the last meeting, and recognize all of the various dinners and honor societies. So I wanted to thank the PTA, outgoing presidents for all they've done. Your dinner was lovely, and we so appreciate everything that you do. We were at the Thespian Honor Society, which was they inducted their new officers, and they all performed, and it's always an amazing evening. We attended National Honor Society, I believe. Ginger counted. I think there were 179 students inducted.
Yeah, I was counting. They were going.
Exactly. And then the week culminated in the Senior Awards and Scholarship evening, where I believe Jim said the class was awarded $10 million. Did I get that right? And $90,000 they received in community scholarships that night. So we have a very, very successful senior class that we're all very proud of. And then the only other thing that I think we attended last week, Dr. Lewis was honored by Erase Racism. And on behalf of the board, we wanted to thank you for all you have done. And we were so proud to know you were ours the night you were being honored.
Thank you.
Anyone else? There'll be moving up exercises, and it'll culminate Sunday at our high school graduation. And I didn't know Mr. Rubin was going to be playing, and it's going to be a very special treat, some more tears to go through. But it's one of the most, I think that's the day. It's a culmination of 13 years. And when you hear that pomp and circumstance, you just can't help but cry. So we're looking forward to another wonderful high school graduation, middle school, elementary moving ups. We'll see you all week.
That's true.
Dr. Lewis?
You've pretty much covered everything that I wanted to say, except if you look at the website, you will see that we've emptied all other pictures except for the senior walk, because we really want to celebrate with our seniors. There were some touching moments throughout that event, and I'm hoping that this will be a tradition that will go on. And I have to really recognize the PTAs for really being the ones to push this forward, and for the high school for putting it in place. But really, their prodding was what caused us to do it, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful tradition that we've started. That's
okay. Blood drive?
Good evening. I too have a lilac bunny, and I hope you're still sitting here. He's only finishing third grade, but I'd love to see you here still then too. myself, I'm Julie Shishko. This is my chairs, Colleen Maxovino and Julie Kessler. Our fourth chair member, Beverly Sender, couldn't be here tonight, but we wanted to present you all with this silver award that we received from the New York Blood Center for our donations for 2018. We collected 194 blood donations, and we all know, or hopefully we do, that each donation could save up to 3 lives. We hope to do, or we think for 2019 we're going to do even better than that. But as a parent of Plainview Old Beth Page and a PTA member, there are a lot of things that I feel really thankful, the privileges that we have, but I think the three of us would all agree that this is one of the committees that we all feel really thankful, blessed, and just truly enjoy putting our time into. And we really want to thank all of you for your support, your donations, and present you this award that we received.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And we're one of the only, if not the only, PTA that does receive any awards from the New York Blood Center.
We will find a place of honor.
With the rest of them.
We will.
Thank you.
Yep. We would like to ask Joe Braco, the last board meeting, a student came, Amy, I believe she's here. Hi, how are you? We have your paper. And you presented to the board an idea about if a student takes X number of sports, about not doing some phys ed or taking phys ed. And we have questions, I think, from the board that we had asked last time or this time. to ask Mr. Braco. As I had explained to you in my letter, we have a process that we go through, and this is one of the beginning steps of a process to see if it's going to end here or if it's going to continue until next year, into the fall. So are there any questions about the – yeah, Susan.
So I guess this is more of a comment. When I was attending high school, there was a swim requirement in order to graduate. So everyone had to take swimming. When I, at 15, became an American Cross Red Cross lifeguard, I was exempt from swimming. I did not have to participate anymore, and I could use that quarter for something else. So I know there's a precedent for this in our history. I'm not sure. Yes.
For something else within phys ed?
No, I was able to go to like a library or go into, I think it was, I was able to do a home economics, back then it was called home economics. I'm sorry, facts class. So I don't know if there's some way to look this up because it would have been in the 80s. And it would. I'm not sure if there's some way to do this or if it was just a, I don't know if it was policy, I don't know if it was practice, but I know because I was able to provide certification that I could swim at a certain level, at a professional level, I was excused from swim, and I think it was a semester swimming at that point, because I was able to take, or maybe it was a quarter, I was able to take another elective other than swimming, and people used to be like, why is your hair not wet? So I don't know if that's something to consider.
Was it for one quarter?
So I did not have to take it after. So I was excused sophomore, junior, and senior year. It was a full quarter swimming at the time. And it was a graduation. You had to. Yes, you had to prove that you could swim. It was a local graduation. You had to swim a lap, one 25 yard. So I was completed back then, and so it would be like 1980, whatever.
Any other questions? Yeah, Jody.
My question is actually probably more for Mr. Murray than for Mr. Braco, and I think I brought this up at the last meeting. One of the things that keeps sort of niggling at the back of my mind is kids have to create their schedules before they try out for the teams. Would it pose a huge problem to have to shuffle schedules around if a student doesn't, you know, they don't, would they register for gym and then, you know, sort of drop it when they make the team, or would they not register assuming that they would make the team? What if they have to come out because they get injured? What would happen if they get benched because of academics? What happens when there's a change in the athlete's status that would affect whether or not they would have to take gym after the schedule is already made?
Those are all very valid questions, and that ones we've been talking about as well. The schedules are already created for the following year, so we don't necessarily know if students are going to be playing on those teams that they're hoping to play for various different reasons. They could not make the team potentially, or like you said, there's injuries that could take place. And especially if they're interested in then having to take another class in its place, how do you do that when the school year had already started? So those are things that we are, of course, looking into. What can happen, though, is in cases where if students do get injured, we can always go the route of giving them a medical excuse and having them, instead of going to regular phys ed class, they're going into the library and doing work in the library, physical education related to that topic, which students sometimes have to do when they're injured and they can't attend gym class. Exactly. So, but those are things that we definitely are taking into consideration.
Anyone else?
Do we have an idea of how many students may want to use this option?
Can you come?
Yeah, Joe, you want to come up?
So there's 240 kids play junior varsity or a varsity sport in for the three different seasons that we participate in. And that's individually each season. There's three sports seasons and there's four academic seasons. So while the fall season does correlate with the first quarter, but the second, third, and fourth quarter, there is no correlation between the sports seasons. There is an overlap between both of them. The question you brought up about cuts, most of our team, we'll have 30 kids that try out for our boys volleyball team, girls volleyball team. We have 40 kids that try out for our JV boys soccer team. How are those kids, are they going into the season with the idea that they're going to get credits for it, or if they get cut, they don't? There's a lot of concerns that I have with this program. Amy, first of all, also, who is eligible for it? Is it every single kid that participates, or is it only the kids that make all-conference, all-county, all-state? Is it any kid that plays three sports, but what happens if they only play, they quit a sport halfway through the year or quit a sport between the seasons? While also physical education is also supposed to be a core subject by the New York State Department of Education. It's a core academic subject that is required. New York State Public High School Athletic Association treats interscholastic sports as an extracurricular activity. So the two governing bodies within New York State actually classify them as two separate things. New York State Public High School Athletic Association classifies sports as an extracurricular activity, while the state recognizes phys ed as a core academic subject. Also, the other thing is, what happened if the coach is not certified? We have coaches that aren't certified teachers that teach a subject. Are only phys ed teachers are going to be allowed, or special ed teachers are going to be allowed to be provided to give grades for a class that they're teaching? From that standpoint, so I have a lot of questions regarding, because I have coaches that aren't certified. That aren't certified teachers. So can they give, are they allowed to give a grade for a student? Yes.
So I'm going to go that Amy's correct in her research.
Yes, she is. There is a provision by New York State Public High, by New York State
so
Education.
So is that contradicting to your first statement where there are two different governing bodies?
There's New York State Public High School Athletic Association, which covers interscholastic athletics. And New York State Department of Education covers physical education.
Right, but the educational law would be under the second, which would be going into this New York State policy as the commissioner's regulations.
Commissioner of Regulations allowed school districts.
So this is a question to, we as a district had to follow educational law, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so yes. It's not going to
commissioner
go.
Commissioner allows districts to do that if the policy
yes.
allows.
Right, that would be for
it's
us.
A local level. It's a local level decision.
Right, but I'm just trying to match what you said as your opening statement.
So New York State Public High School Athletic Association, which governs the athletic portion, which governs our interscholastic athletics, classifies interscholastic athletics as an extracurricular activity.
Right, but we're basing our policy on educational law, which is the commissioner's.
Correct. And what I'm trying to say is that physical education is a core academic subject, and athletics is an extracurricular activity.
You're separating the two out.
Yes.
Right, but it's true. But I the weight is more on the educational law for our district, not a commissioner, not an.
Commissioner's regs allows us to do it. If the district decides to adopt it. Remember
right.
when we talked about it last,
the
commissioner's regs says that one sport can be used to substitute for physical education. When I spoke, when Amy introduced it, I said I could support a three-sport, if someone were a three-sport student being able to substitute for physical education.
So,
but that would have to be the board's, the
right.
board would have to decide that.
Now the question.
I don't believe that one sport, being in one sport should allow any student to be exempt from phys ed.
Well,
that's my personal feeling.
Right, I mean, I'm going to a little bit disagree on that just because I also had the benefit of that because I was a single sport swimmer. And I wasn't even a swim team. I was
That was swim. You were exempt from a swim unit. It was an equivalent.
It was also a graduation requirement, too.
Yeah,
but that was a board decision. That's
all
not.
All I'm saying is, but my other question is, since I was not here at the last meeting when this is being discussed, can we correlate the number of hours that a varsity player between practice and play time, because even if you're not playing, you're at practice, so everyone's practicing, how many hours that is with a semester or a... there's a hand going up back there.
I'm sure Amy has.
No.
This is how it works. It's Mr. Breakaway.
Okay. So is there a way to correlate how many hours of practice?
I can calculate the hours, yes.
And compare it to a quarter or a semester?
But I there's absolutely a way to calculate. I also have to think about the way what is being taught at those two different levels and what's taught at the two different aspects. While in physical education, it's an academic subject, which is with a program that promotes mental and physical health. It's promoting lifetime sports. It is promoting leadership skills, all the same things. But also at the same time, while interscholastic athletics is also more narrow aspect. The aspect of cooperation and stuff is brought into it. But I'm losing my train of thought.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a way if needed, you could calculate
yes.
the hours of between practice and playtime with the hours that would correlate with a semester or quarter
yes.
of a school year.
Yes.
Because that's part of this process. How many hours a student, because if they fail, and forget about this conversation, if they fail X amount or not show up at X amount of hours, they would fail gym and would have to go to summer school or not graduate, correct? Okay.
I think every year we have kids who don't graduate because of phys ed.
Since I have been here, that has not been an issue. We have made sure that the kids graduate based upon physical education. The way the program has been structured at the high school, we alert people well in advance, but also at the same time we have implemented structures in a place so that kids are very actively aware of their GPA, very aware of what their academics requirements are in those courses as well. So since I have been here, the amount of kids that I think that have not graduated as a result of phys ed is very minimal. I can't even think of someone in the last three.
Rarely will give a phys ed over the summer for August. But
yeah.
Very, very rarely.
Joe, I know that your phys ed teachers have a very strong opinion
mm-hmm.
about this and treating it as an academic subject. And treating it for life skills and everything else.
Yep.
Could you just share a little bit about their concerns?
So a lot of our concerns is one of the things, as I said, we have, since I've been here 6 years ago, we have made great strides in trying to treat physical education as an academic subject, not as a place where kids just go and walk or kids come in and sit down. We have incorporated into our phys ed program at the high school electives that have allowed kids to pursue different lifetime activities and lifetime activity skills, such as yoga, yoga fusion, core fitness, CrossFit, beginners and advanced weight training. Our lifetime skill sports, we're revamping and going into next year so that they are learning a variety of different skills that kids can pursue for the remainder of their lifetime. One of the components that we look into is cooperation, teamwork, leadership. We say it at the award ceremony when we recognize our four-year award winner. It's not based upon their academic prowess. It's based upon their strength of character. And those are the things that we feel that as one of the things that we structure is how can we grow their character through physical activity and through physical fitness. There's a stat that will go out there that 89% of the kids by age 25 are done playing team sports for their physical fitness, and they're pursuing other activities such as weight training, running, and other activities for their lifetime. And that's a goal of physical education is to have students pursue lifetime fitness. So that's the goal of what we're doing, so that they have avenues and to learn different things. But mental health-wise also, we talk about the benefits of physical fitness and physical activity and how that kids can grow from it. When they are stressed, when they are overworked at school, they can go for a run or they can do yoga to de-stress so that they can be healthy and happy mentally as well, because physical fitness is one of the main components of being mentally healthy in their lifestyle. Varsity athletics is a competitive sport. Varsity athletics is you go out there and you play to win. While our coaches are teaching life skills, one of the main components that we go out there is definitely to win and lose. Our varsity teams are expected to try to win. Some of our teams next year hopefully are going to win counties. Amy Wright, we're going to win counties next year. Okay, so Amy's on our girls soccer team that is outstanding, and they're looking to win counties next year. But there is a pressure to win on a daily basis. In our physical education class, that is not a priority. It's about growing as a person, growing as a human being, working with the person across from you, and getting better at your skill and getting better at your craft. From that standpoint,
do you know, are there any schools on the island that do this?
The only one that I know of is, I believe it's Hewlett. Hewlett is the only one that I know of. Most of the Elwood did too. Okay. What? Would they?
Maybe they don't do it.
They don't. From what I when I spoke to their AD, they don't. They no longer.
Oh, they no longer.
Okay. They no
want to. Debbie.
I think I'd be interested in knowing why they don't do it any longer. Yeah. Is there a way it's we can find imagine. Out?
I can make phone calls, but from what I understand, I don't want to speak out of turn. But
okay, you don't have to tell us this time.
It's very difficult to manage.
Do you want to put on another agenda?
Yeah, there might be abuses.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, thank you. I think yes, I'm sorry, Jody.
I just one of the other things that keeps coming into my mind is this a Pandora's box? If we allow this, do the kids who are in drama cadets want credit for music? Do the kids who are in robotics want credit for a computer class? Do the kids in the middle schools who are in band and chorus, both of which are graded classes, want to be exempt from music? So, and I'm not saying they should or shouldn't be, I'm just saying, is this going to become, is this the Pandora's box? If we start this with sports, does this then become extracurricular replacing
academics?
That was why, one of the reasons I said there's 240 kids that participate in athletics every day. Someone like Amy is a phenomenal athlete. She's integral in three sports and does a great job for us. But there are some other kids that play three sports that
don't do the same job.
But they participate and we love them and they do a great job for our program and they're there every day. But what's the requirement for it? And that's where do we draw the bar for it? Is it just participation that gets you into it? Or is it there's different requirements? Do you have to be all county? Do you have to be all conference and as such? So those are some of the concerns, logistical issues that I have as a question, and also some philosophical concerns and ethical concerns that I have as the athletic director.
I think there's some questions. Any other questions? Susan?
So when we grade Jim...
Physical education.
Physical education classes. When we do grade, we don't grade necessarily on the skill that they. It's their a personal benchmark.
Correct.
So it is participation to a point.
Well, we do want participation in our physical. That's how we learn through physical education. We also say that your ability to grow as a person in that class is more important. Some of our best athletes are not some of our best phys ed students. If you look at who got the awards at our 4-year, at the senior awards dinner.
I'm not comparing it, but when you're saying though, I just want to make sure though, when we're using grading in our physical education classes, it's not at a certain benchmark.
No. Because
you're saying now, you would say it would have to be somebody who would be either varsity three sports or national or county awards. So I just want to make sure if we were to do this, it would be still a personal benchmark and it would be a personal growth, would be a grading type situation.
Again, that would be, I was just looking at ways how to put it in. That's why I was saying there's potentially 240 kids that would not be, that could potentially.
But this is also not, this would be an option, and if people could opt in or opt out of it, or it wouldn't necessarily be 240 students. It could be somebody like Amy who is doing something like this, and she felt that she either needed lunch or she wanted to take another elective or something other because she's already spending so many hours. So it's not necessary that 240 students would be doing it. Has there ever been a survey or any feeling, because I know this is the first time it's coming up right now?
I have not conducted a survey with the student population.
You've never heard any other request of this?
There have been two other requests since I have been here. One by Yuval Solomon, who is our board.
I don't need to know names.
Okay, sorry. There was two other requests, and there were two other requests.
Okay.
You have to ask the question. You have to ask the board.
Yeah.
Do you
I'm going to just at this point in time, and I know that Amy can speak during public participation because we had all information, as I had explained to her in the letter. This is a process, and now it's up to the board if they want to continue this process in the fall or not. Is there anyone who wants to continue the process in the fall?
I would entertain this discussion to go forward.
Is there anyone else?
I mean, look, from a procedural process standpoint, it came about differently than
normal.
Issues like this normally come up, but that happens, and that's okay. If a board member wants to agenda an item, and we want to, you know, as per our policy, a board member could agenda any item, and then we could have that discussion. I mean, I think this conversation highlights that we have questions, maybe not answers, but questions about how it would play out from a logistical standpoint. We have some, I think, concerns from the educational value of it, you know, treating it as as what physical education is, which is a core academic subject versus extracurricular. I think Jody highlights some concerns about the slippery slope. You know, I mean, look, if one board member wants to add for it to agenda for us to explore it, that's fine. I mean, I'm certainly not prepared to move forward, but every board member has a right to put it on. I mean, it's not something that I don't think if I had to decide now, I wouldn't support it. But if we want to continue to explore it, you know, that's the right of any board member to look to do it. This is not a normal process, so to go around and ask us,
it was just,
I just don't know if that's the right way to do it.
Well, I guess I don't want to leave Amy leaving here thinking that something is either alive or dead. I think it's a wrong message to give. And I think because this was different, but this was also something that came from a student who did a lot of work. She did
Absolutely.
Her research. Mm-hmm. She came up here, and it's not easy to address the Board of Education to speak about something. And that as we got some information from Joe sent us, and I think that Jody talked about the Pandora's box and different things that it opens, and Susan is talking about past experience and what happened in her life. I think sometimes it's better if we just felt if we wanted to come to closure on it this evening, and you're right. Any board member can agenda anything at any time. But sometimes it's just nice to know the person who presented it that maybe at this point in time, in this juncture, we're not going to proceed ahead. And instead of having false hopes and saying, oh, we're going to agenda it in the fall and see what happens, maybe some other things will come up. Maybe some board members will have other questions that they want, and then Debbie can make with the board a decision as to how we're handling it. But I was just hoping to be able to leave here this evening with Amy knowing one way or the other, she's made a difference. We're very proud of what you did. And we know that you studied, you did your facts, you researched, you wrote a beautiful letter, you came here and you spoke eloquently. And that, if anything, that's something to put a feather in many, many caps for you. And so I just want you, and I think the board wants you to leave tonight, not with false hopes that something is going to happen, but it can come up again. Debbie, you okay with that?
It could come up again, and if Susan would like to put it on a future agenda, then we will have it put on a future agenda. But I also think that there are a lot of questions, and I think if we're going to go forward in terms of putting it on another agenda, we need to have the high school be talking about it and getting a recommendation, both logistically in terms of scheduling and philosophically. That's what I would want, as well as from the phys ed department. So if Susan would like to put it on a future agenda, we will, and then perhaps we can get a report from the high school and the phys ed department.
So do I have to make an official?
No, not now. We have a whole summer to get through that. Okay, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Amy, and we're hoping we'll see what happens over the summer. Thank you.
Fern Place? Oh, yeah, the reserves plan. I had just moved up. The reserves plan is going to be up here.
I was trying to
Annually, the board is required to present a reserve plan. And this is quite important because it ties into the October audit. So if there are any extra funds that are left over from this year's budget, the board has to give a direction prior to the year's ending as to where those funds will be. So this is a very important presentation that a lot of folks question us when we arrive at the audit. This is where it begins. Very important.
So, and I do want to thank the board. You do have this presentation and the reserve plan on your desk in front of you. It was also posted for the public, and I thank you for excusing me from the last board meeting. I was actually up in Saratoga presenting there to over 250 auditors and other business officials about how to go about developing a reserve plan and also explaining and articulating the reserve plan, not only once a year, but how it incorporates into your long-term fiscal plan, how it links into your financial statements. You've given us in the last few years the opportunity to follow up with a financial state of the district, which we give at that first meeting in October when you hear about the financial statements. And a big part of that is incorporating how we use our reserves, not only now, but looking forward in the next 4 or 5 years. So tonight's focus is going to be literally a snapshot that takes us to June 30th. This is a graph that shows our three different types of reserves or fund balances. The focus of tonight's presentation is going to be the blue portion called restricted reserves. The yellow portion is assigned fund balance. That's generally fund balance that's assigned to the next year's fiscal year to support the revenue stream. And if you look at going from the left to right in 2014 and 2015, our designated fund balance or assigned fund balance was larger than it was in 16, 17, and 18. So we had scaled that back. And as you know, as we came out of this budget year, in order to support our debt service, we're now broadening that and designated more fund balance to the next fiscal year. And the orange is what's called the 4%, our unassigned fund balance. The green line is representing total fund balance and reserves as a percentage of our expenditure budget. So you can see it's kind of had a slightly kind of downward trend, going from about 28% of budget, and now our reserves and fund balance are hovering at about 25% of our expense budget. I also want to note that my assistant business administrator, Jen Segui, is here to answer any questions. We work on this together. This plan has also been looked at by our consultants and our auditors, so it's been vetted out before we forward it to you. The next few slides summarize the status of our reserves as of last June 30th, 2018, with the balance.
Rich?
It also, yes?
I'm sorry. The fund balance by type and percentage, this isn't the unrestricted 4%.
The orange, 4%. The orange is the unrestricted 4%.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm color deficient, but
well, so
they
this,
all look the same to
this,
me.
This projector is somewhat color deficient, and we'll fix that soon.
Well, for you color enhanced folks, maybe.
Well, we'll need a color enhanced projector. But also, I guess we could choose different colors, so there's more of a gap between the yellow and the red. The next several slides go through, and I'm not going to read through them all, but I'll read some highlights. It states what the balance was coming out of the last fiscal year, June 30th, 2018. When the reserve was created, what the general municipal law, GML, stands for general municipal law, what section of general municipal law governs that particular reserve, and what the purpose is. One change in the first reserve here, reserve for retirement contribution, was part of this last budget process up in Albany. This reserve had only been able to be used for New York State employee retirement systems, the ERS system, not for teachers or administrators. But as of July 1st, payments to the teachers' retirement system can be made from a sub-fund of this reserve. We'll get into that a little bit more. Also have the balance for the accrued employee benefit liability reserve. The reserve for unemployment, we'll give a recommendation with this. But we're also putting an asterisk here that this year's recommendation will include a transfer of funds of up to $1.2 million from this reserve into the 2017 capital reserve within 60 days after the end of the fiscal year. The way this particular section of law is written, we can't make that transfer at June 30th, but we can make it within 60 days after the close of the fiscal year. I'll show a chart a little bit later to show you why we think this is a really good idea. We have a repair reserve, which we have used in the last couple of years. The original funding level was $1 million in this. We've used about $250,000, and now it's slowly building itself back up through accrued interest. We have several capital reserve funds, one that was established in 2010, another that was established in 2015, and the one that's active now, really the most active, we are drawing down Capital Reserve 3 right now, but most of our activity is now in Capital Reserve 4 that was established by voters in 2017. This particular reserve is something that the board talked about at our last budget meeting and budget adoption. I'd have to say I was proud on how articulate and knowledgeable the board was in how that capital reserve worked and what its funding level was and how you plan to use it. If you recall, I did not say anything at that meeting regarding that capital reserve. You did it all, and that was really good stuff. Looking at our fund balance and reserve history, looking at several of them, the bottom one, which is green, if you look on colored paper, it is some kind of strange aqua here, I see, is our unemployment reserve. And you can see going from 2014, going forward, it's getting larger. And our unemployment exposure right now is very small, and we have well over $1 million in that reserve. And that's where our recommendation comes down to drawing that down by about $1.2 million after the close of the fiscal year and moving that to Capital Reserve 2017 in order to put it to work for the community. Right now, it's not really helping our community all that much. And based on its current volume, it's earning more interest per year than our unemployment expense. So that's why we would suggest to draw it down. Reserve for retirement contributions, that's the blue section. You can see we've had some variety in the level of that reserve based on the four-year rolling average and how much we've appropriated to subsequent years. The yellow is reserve for employee benefits and accrued liabilities, also known as sick day payout. That has been holding just about steady, where we can see certain trends. We did see a slight decrease in that reserve as we had teachers retire in recent years. Obviously, this year we had a big retirement class. We've had several years of a large retirement class that are changing the balance of that a bit. Capital reserves, you'll see they grow, and then they shrink as we spend them. As you know, the voters approve the overall funding, and then as we do the projects, the balance starts to draw down again. Brown is reserved for repairs. We have about $750,000 in there right now. Assigned appropriated fund balance. So that is our fund balance that we assign to the next year's fiscal year in order to support the revenue budget. Orange is assigned unappropriated fund balance. What that really is money we have to hold on to for accounts payable that we know are due after June 30th. Okay, so we average, would you say somewhere around $600,000 to $750,000 in there?
Yes.
Which are essentially accounts payable that we know we'll pay after the close of the fiscal year. And then the blue in this chart is the unassigned fund balance. I know this chart is small. If you are following along in back of me on your phone, it is in the presentation, and it is easier to see on a phone. The board also has paper copies of this in your presentation, which is easier to see. So what we started with this chart is our opening balance for all the reserves, or another way to look at it, our closing balance as of last June 30, 2018, or opening balance on July 1st. A reconciliation of revenues and our projected expenditures. This is where we were as of May 31st,
yes.
End of May. Interest allocations a little bit further down. The interest that has been earned through May. And then this, the next line down, reserves applied for 18-19. These are reserves that were designated in the 18-19 revenue budget out of the restricted reserves. You can also see here, going further down, there's a $7 million drawdown in Capital Fund 2017. As you recall, voters approved the expenditure of up to $7 million on our May 21st, 2019 ballot. So that is indicated there. And then we look at transfers in, where we think we're going to be as of June 30th. And we think this year, based on our current fund balance estimate, we'll have about $3.2 million left in revenues, including appropriated reserves and fund balance over expenditures. Okay, yes. Accurate to say. Thank you. Yep. Thank you for the assistance there. So you can see our estimated closing balances way at the bottom line. Are there any questions on this? Because our next slide is going to be basically the resolution that we're putting in front of you, the maximum reserve recommendations, which you can see are greater than what was on the last slide. All right, the last slide is where we think we're going to be, but as we know from past experience, I tend to run things a little bit tight, so I'm encouraged to leave some wiggle room in case we actually have greater fund balance than what we estimated at the end of May 31st. So what the recommendations are the maximum recommendations for our reserve limits as of June 30th. But our focus is really going to be on moving or funding the sub-reserve for TRS, which is line 1A, and also funding Capital Reserve Fund 2017, not to exceed 4.5, a little bit more than that. And then there'll be a subsequent transfer from the unemployment insurance reserve of about $1.2 million, which will draw down the unemployment insurance reserve to about $500,000 and increase Capital Reserve Fund 2017 an additional 1.2. Mr. Greenberg.
Okay, so on this slide, mm-hmm. if you look at is 1 and 1A, is 111.176.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include the 1.267, or is that just separate?
That's separate.
So under both the primary and the sub fund, we're talking about almost $13
million. Yes.
Right.
So, and Mr. Gee, if you can explain how we arrived at the 11.1 as a maximum.
For the 11, we took 4 years of ERS contributions. So this is the maximum. This is we don't have to go to that level. It's just an option. That depending on how much monies we have left over, we could raise it up to 11.1 million. And the 1.2 million comes from the 17-18 salaries for TRS multiplied by 2%. That's the maximum allowed under the new law.
So then how do you make a determination if you don't, if that's the maximum, mm-hmm. how you slice it and dice it, like where it goes, right? I mean, because we were at 9.6 million to start one.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommendation is to go up another 1.5, 1.6 million. And then you want to, the sub fund, which is the first year that it exists,
mm-hmm.
would seem to me, not that that you would prioritize putting something in a fund that we just started over, but how do we go about doing that?
Okay. So we've talked about this a lot internally. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
So with the sub fund, the subfund can only be used for TRS payments, and the way this section of law was written, we can increase that reserve by 2% of TRS payroll until we get to a maximum level of 10% of TRS payroll. So if we follow that, it could take us 5 years to get to that point, to get to 10% of TRS payroll. And as you know, our TRS payments are generally more than 10%. At least they have been since 2009, mm-hmm. 2008, 2009 have been more than 10% of TRS payroll anyway. So our strong recommendation is to let's start funding that reserve, because if the stock market throttles down, by pulling from that TRS reserve, it helps us save jobs. We haven't had that ability in the past, and when TRS rates went up, generally school districts would start laying people off. So we're looking to fund that while we can, and then also looking at, I know we put maximums here, but our next place to look will be Capital Reserve Fund 2017, in part because we believe votes speak, and we look at the approval rating of our capital reserve propositions, our last few proposition twos, and we know the community is really looking at that.
So on that capital reserve fund, so mm-hmm. on 4 and 5, the 2010 and 2015, mm-hmm. that's what's left over mm-hmm.
right.
from those.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The number 6, when we put it out to vote in 2017, mm-hmm. it was up to $25 million. But only half of it, roughly, had already been put in.
Right. Right.
So the not to exceed 4.5 means what? That there's still another 7.5, or is that 4.5 part of what's left over and part of what we added? Like, how much of the remaining $12 million are we looking to put in here? And maybe. It's maybe I just don't understand, but if the voters approve $25 million, why do we have to approve a maximum reserve since the voters already said the maximum is 25 total?
Okay. First,
the idea is at this meeting, we have to allocate whatever's left over. We can't do it.
No, I understand, which is why. I'm saying, yeah. Why is it limited to there as a maximum? And then the follow-up, which is, how do we allocate what's left over? Maybe there's 4 million, maybe there's 2. How do we do that? You're doing the max. I'm mm-hmm. just, I know we do this every year, but why is there a limitation? And again, once we know in 2 weeks where we're left over, we'll have a sense of where it is, and then we have to, I mean, I know it's the maximum. Right. So why is that max not higher? I guess why is that max not higher?
Which one?
Cap.
2017 Capital Reserve.
Number six.
So we have been. Part of it is quite honestly pattern. We've been putting about $6 million in there every year since voters approved it in 2017. We don't think we're going to have, based on our fund balance estimates, the ability to put more into, I'll call it line one, the ERS reserve, or line two, the EBLR reserve. Line three isn't, there's not even a suggestion to put more funding in there. We can't put more money into line four, line five, or line seven without voter approval. So really we're talking about where we're putting money into three different reserves here, all right? One, two, and six. So,
mm-hmm. wants to know. Like, well,
I understand generally every other one. I just $12 million.
$25 million, since that's what the voter approved.
Okay, so we also, one of the things in this. And I'm looking at the question from another direction. One of the things I talk about as I go and do the presentation on this is that the recommendations to board have to be reasonable. We have to base it on something. So if I came in and gave you a proposed resolution to put up to $25 million in that reserve, it wouldn't be looked at by from an audit perspective as reasonable. Because one, we would be criticized for having too much fund balance left over at the end of the year. And two, the other reserves, such as the ERS reserve, the unemployment benefit accrued liability reserve, unemployment reserve, we have math to support that justification.
All right, so of the $4.5 million in number six in the 2017 capital reserve, how much of it would be new money in there, and how much of it is left over from the previous?
So all of that 4.5 is new money. So that 4.5 would be in addition to
$500,000.
The $12 million that's already in there, that the board has already appropriated in future other years.
Wait, well, I have a question. Didn't we spend four and five already? Why is there even a balance?
So
didn't we spend it in this year's budget? $5 million in assorted funds to fund on our Prop 2 for some of our outlays?
That was a different fund. Still was capital, all right? But that was what is known as transfer to capital, our 9950 expenditure code. And in that case, that money was not from the 2010 or 2015 capital reserves.
Well, but didn't we take for Prop 2 $7 million? You found money that was bundled together. I'm looking back in my notes right now.
And we moved it into transfer to capital.
But isn't reserve fund done? Aren't we finished with it? Didn't we clear those funds? Didn't we make them zero?
No, we didn't. In order to do that, in order to clear out a capital reserve fund, not transfer to capital, which is a general fund transaction, a capital reserve fund, in order to zero that out, it requires voter approval. So what
are
we
taking it down for a dollar then, if it still has to have a balance?
But we don't have any projects that voters have approved to utilize that money.
Wasn't this old balance is covering part of? I'm trying to find the.
No, that I know what you're talking about, and let's go back to the three buckets of capital. We have capital reserves, which voters authorize the funding of. And then we have to provide another proposition to expend. Okay, so that's capital reserves. Then we have our general fund transactions, transfer to capital, which is expenditure line 9950, and that's what you're looking for in your notes, that we had found unused balances from previous years. They're before 2010. Those were transferred to capital, not capital reserve. So those we simply cleared out, and we reappropriated into this year's transfer to capital line on 9950. And we did it both on the expense side and on the revenue side. So there was no impact on the taxes, but we put it to work for taxpayers.
Okay, then my next question is, why are we keep being such a balance? Why are we keeping, $200,000 in capital reserve funds if there are no more expenses from those funds? And not putting
we,
it into
we
a
missed
transfer.
when we asked voters to approve the funding for 2017 capital reserve, we were still doing work out of the 2010 and 2015 capital reserve.
So
we didn't know what the final expenditure was going to be. Now we don't have any voter approved projects to expend off of in those two reserves. We would have to put out a proposition to say,
I get that, These are final balances for 2010, you're saying, in 2015, the $200,000.
Right.
Okay. I'm rounding.
So now
can we, this coming year, transfer this into some sort of working?
It requires voter approval. So what our recommendation is for 2010 and 2015 and probably the 2017 capital reserve when we finally get there, but let's just look at 2010 and 2015, is when we are going to ask voters to authorize capital reserve number five, which may be in the 2022, May of 2022. In that resolution, we will include a line that says to transfer any remaining funds in those capital reserves to the new reserves and use it as part of the funding stream. But we can't make that transfer without voter approval. Okay, so this last slide is showing what our reserves would look like if we go to the maximum recommended, which we don't believe we're going to, but we left some wiggle room. And you can see it looks like the reserves go up from the 2018 balance to the maximum 2019. This change is almost equivalent to, if we slide all the way down, there's a little red bar here. This is the TRS subfund reserve, all right? So the increase in total reserves would be just about equal to the allocation put into the TRS subfund. With that, are there any last questions?
I'm just curious, on what you sent home from New York State being allowable,
mm-hmm.
Nassau County right now pays for any reimbursements.
Nassau County guarantee, right.
Right. Do we have to, I know that won in the courts this past fall or spring. Will we have to worry about that for future, or you don't have any sense of that right now?
We don't have any sense of that, there's going to be another court case over the Nassau County guarantee. And because of the Nassau County guarantee, we don't have any provision to set up a tax certiorari reserve. Nassau County school districts can't do that.
Okay.
If that certainly comes percolating up again, I'm sure we'll get advice at legal counsel on that.
Ginger, can I just ask a question? So if, I know you said that we probably won't fund it to the maximum, but if we funded it to the maximum, we would still be within our 4%?
Yes. Yes.
So, I'm sorry, I can't resist. The $3.2 million roughly that you're saying that you anticipate being left over revenues over expenditures.
Yes.
Is that in addition to or included in the reserve recommendation amount?
It's included in.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
We're good?
We're good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
I don't know.
That's
yeah. She's not here. Fern Place. Yeah.
I'm going to just quickly just go over.
Our next item that we'll be talking about is going to be Fern Place. And the board has said that it would like to have a date to have a community meeting on it. And on June 24th, we will set a date for that community forum in which your questions can be asked. They can be asked during public participation tonight if you so choose, and then we will give you all the information as we have received it so far as to the possible sale of that piece of property. Are there any other comments? Okay. Child care? Oh, no, it's not public participation yet. Almost. Almost. We'll let you know. Yeah, I said child care.
Okay.
Yes.
So at the last meeting, we had several parents come up to inform the board of the fact that we had tapped out on our spaces for child care. Our child care spaces are limited by the space that we have and the number of staff that we can have to carry that program through. We have capped our child care to 100 per building, elementary building, and 45 at the middle school. At the middle school, it's capped at 45 because it's in the family and consumer science room. We cannot put 100 students in there. At the elementary schools, it's in the cafeteria. You might say, well, why can't we use other spaces? We can't, because there are other things happening in the building at the same time. Why can't we use a gym? Well, the gym houses athletics, so we can't use that. Or the gym may house our performing groups in the morning. So we're not at liberty to open the whole building to childcare, and nobody wants childcare in their classrooms. So that's why we're limited. But what we did, Cheryl spent a lot of time going over the data and poring over the data. We looked at the actual requests, or are in the process of looking at the actual requests that parents are making, so that on a daily basis, on a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, we can decide whether we have room to accommodate more students. In order to do that, we had to set a deadline on returning packets for next year. It is June 26. We cannot budge on that, because if we want us to be able to have more than 100 students registered with any daily use of 100, we must have those packets back early enough to analyze the data to be able to accommodate more students. I know this is a change in practice from the past, but we have a change in the demand for the program. Our program has grown. Some say it has matured to the point where we need to put some formalized structures in place, and that's what we have had to do. And we appreciate your patience, appreciate everything that Cheryl has done to accommodate. We want to make sure we service everyone. We appreciate it. If you could get your packets in by June 26th, those packets that are in will have priority. And that's just how it has to be. And we cannot entertain flexibility but once a year. Currently, people, you know, they sign up for the morning and then they say, well, I need to use it in the afternoon. We can't accommodate that, because what we're doing right now is we're taking everyone according to the days that they asked and deciding whether we can accommodate everyone. So we cannot have the flexibility of going AM, PM, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever you have decided that you would like, that's what we are going to entertain and then decide whether we can accommodate everyone. We're also opening up another area in Stratford Road. If we go above 100 in JJP in Pasadena, we will have to bus those students over to Stratford Road in order to accommodate more students. We're trying everything that we can to accommodate all of our parents. And we hope that you will be patient with us as we try to do the best we can.
Are there any questions from the board? We'd just like to thank Cheryl, and I know Central and the principals, everybody who has worked so hard to try to make this work. And the wonderful thing is the program is so successful that we're on just overflow. So thank you to everybody who worked on it. Ladies and gentlemen, district policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could be in some way violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is now open. Hi, Amy.
Hello. Okay. First of all, thank you so much for hearing me out. I really appreciate it. The first point I wanted to talk about is someone mentioned the hours and how they correlated. I calculated it previously, but I did it again. So if you have a gym 3 days a week and they're 40-minute periods, that's 120 minutes per week. However, if you participate in a school sport, that an hour and a half, so 90 minutes, 6 days per week, that's 540 minutes per week. So, of course, you're getting a lot more minutes for the school sport than gym, so I don't think the minutes issue should be that much of a problem. And then someone else brought about the topic about Pandora's box. I don't know the reason why I picked gym. Well, one, because it relates to me, but two, because in the laws and the precedent, it said I could do this. I don't know if it's like that for drama or robotics, but like the law said so I figured let's do this. Next, Mr. Rako before talked about like building team camaraderie and spirit, and through physical education you like learn to pick yourself up and leadership skills, but I've also realized that you get that a lot from school sports and like just building the team, like your team with your team. And also, we've been through physical education all the way from kindergarten to ninth grade. So I feel like we've got that physical education all the way through that. So I feel like we understand. Then my proposition of how this could go into place. First, I was thinking that we would schedule the gym, like in the student schedule, they'd have it in their schedule. And then if they wanted to take a sport, once they get onto the team, then they'd have to fill out a form, sign a form, hand it into guidance or whoever manages that. And then so once they make the team, they have that free gym period now to eat their lunch. They'd have it built into the schedule to, let's say they get injured, then they'd go into the library and do like the school, like educated PE work that they'd have to do if they were injured anyways. And or if they, let's say, don't make or get cut from the team, then they'd go back to that gym class. And I also have received a lot of support from my fellow students. They've contacted me. I've overheard that they would totally be in support for this plan, and they think it would benefit them also. Yeah, so that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you.
I'm speaking on the Fern Place School. My name is Lana Rosenthal, and I live at 138 Orchard Street. I'm a resident of Orchard Street, and actually discussing from before, I actually am an alumni from this district as well. I can't imagine that you are considering selling this property to an organization that has caused severe safety hazards, is inconsiderate and disrespectful to community members, and refuses to follow protocols of neighborhood regulations or traffic laws. In addition, their school staff litters on our private properties, has destroyed school property as well as town-owned property, and continues to do so every day. This is only a fraction of how this school has impacted our lives and our community. The number of staff members, buses, and accommodations given the personnel of this school has grown to excess. They are taking advantage of the environment and want to create unrealistic and an environmentally unsafe place. Sorry about that.
Just find it again.
I'm sorry. Unsafe conditions to this property and to our community once it would be sold. Creating more parking would continue to allow more cars, more traffic, more buses with fumes on this narrow residential street. They also have a child care program within the school which brings in income. Who gets this income? Because the school is supposed to be a nonprofit organization. This also causes more cars, more staff, more parents to enter this building. I'm not against a tenant leasing this building. Since when BOCES leased this property in the past, they were always respectful neighbors to our community. In addition, we have certainly more and more children coming into this community who need to be placed in our schools. From the whole rezoning issue from the beginning of the year, $2 million currently being spent to expand each and every elementary school due to the lack of space from incoming children, we should keep this building accessible if needed in the future. Our current elementary schools are overcrowded, that each school was expanded last year and again being physically expanded to accommodate the vast amount of students moving into our area. There have been many mistakes regarding school combination and expansion in the past, such as eliminating the kindergarten center, where plans were insufficient to accommodate all the children within each elementary school. Clearly, that is still our current problem. Keeping ownership of this property would help to ensure that children in our community have a space in which they are made, may be educated. Selling this property be another bad decision that would be decided. We would not have a school property to fall back on. From my observations and meetings attended, it seems that ACDS needs a much larger building to accommodate their needs. They wish to purchase the land in front of the building to meet their parking needs. It doesn't seem to be your concern that wish to create a concrete parking lot in the middle of a total residential street that would impact approximately 20 families and create unsafe environment for our children. Sure, absolutely. But our community is distraught at the lack of concern and disdain that this board evokes regarding the sale of this property. I just wanted to make a point that in addition to an unsafe conditions, every single day my daughters get dropped off at the bus stop in front of my home or close to my home, and the people that come out of that parking lot
do not abide by the rules of the stop signs on the buses, and I've had to call the bus department. I had my bus driver go back and tell the bus people. These parents and staff have made our lives miserable and continue to do so every day. And it would just be a huge burden to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrice Finkelstein, 58 Bland Street, Plainview. While I am speaking on behalf of myself and not president of PTA Council, I know that I'm not the only one of this opinion, and I want to recognize Paula for the little hints and seeds that she planted. As a resident of the area surrounding Fern Place and as someone who has been involved in the district PTAs since 2004, living through the closing of the kindergarten center, the return of the kindergarten classes to their home schools, and the subsequent current construction of new classrooms to house the increasing incoming population, I have serious concerns about selling a property that we surely can make quality use of. While it is always attractive to receive a large, as yet undisclosed, amount of money, and to think of the many uses for those newfound funds, I beg you to consider all options before signing our property away. Would it be beneficial to utilize this location in conjunction with Pasadena to allow for future growth and expansion, rather than costly additions to other existing buildings? And I ask you to look forward to a time, possibly in the near future, where the district may be required to provide full-day universal pre-K. Where would we put all of these children? And wouldn't it be a wonderful idea to revamp our child care with a dedicated, ample space for all who would like to take advantage of it? And again, this is just a few things to think about. And thank you all for your commitment and a wonderful year. And enjoy your summers.
Thank you, Patrice.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Hearing none, public participation is now over. May I please have a motion on routine business? Jody, second. Debbie, any hold separations? All in favor of routine business? So moved. We have, I believe, four items. We have four items now for new business. May I please have a motion on the recommendation to reaffirm and approve the district reserve fund plan? Jody, second. It's got to be Seth. No. Okay. Rennell, any discussion? You sure? All in favor? So moved. No. May I please have a motion to approve exchange student for the 2019-2020 school year from France? On the motion, Rennell. Second, Susan. Any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I please have a motion to approve the stipulation of settlement and general release? Susan, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I please have a motion for the agreement confidential Schedule A? Motion by Seth, second. Rennell, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. May I please have a motion to go into executive session for reason of... Go ahead. Second. Seth, all in favor? So moved. Very good, Rennell. Very good. You got it. Thank you, and we will be having a special meeting.